I'm Theo.
And I'm Juliet.
And this is Apologies Accepted.
We offer an entertaining look at some of the big issues in history by examining public apologies of the famous and infamous.
We're looking at politicians, serial killers, actors, and you.
Send us a public apology you'd like to make, and we'll read it on the air and give you a chance to redeem yourself or just get some guilt off your shoulders.
We're here for you. Once a week, maybe more if you're really, really sorry.
Hi, everybody. This is Apologies Accepted,
the podcast.
And I'm not Theo.
And I'm not Juliet. I'm not.
And you never will be, no matter how hard you try. Or
really
how many
not.
Prayers you say at night, or many times you give, what is it called? You give offerings to the gods?
Not sacrifices, but
alms?
Alms. Offerings.
Offerings. Okay, cool. Anyway, we are ourselves. That is all we'll ever be. And we have to cope with that. So what's shaking bacon?
It has been a week. It's been a week, and what a fun week it has been. Gosh, it has been a week. So let's not talk about what a week it's been. Instead, let's talk about, you may remember that I stupidly lost my very expensive eyeglasses, which I paid a lot of money for, and I didn't need because they're just readers, and you can get readers for $9 at Target or at the 7-Eleven. They basically hand them out on street corners for free.
Sure.
Right. And no, I had to have the expensive eyeglasses because I was like, I'll see better. And they're a smidge better. Anyway, I lost them. Couldn't find them. And I complained about it for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I complained about it so often that when my birthday rolled around, James knew exactly what to get me for my birthday, which was a replacement pair of eyeglasses. So he went to that eye doctor and was like, hey, this is your patient, and we just need another set of these. And
how thoughtful.
That was very thoughtful. And I was like, best gift ever. What an amazing gift. Thank you. It's really thoughtful. And yay, now I can stop complaining about how I lost my eyeglasses.
Don't tell me you lost them again.
No. Okay. That's not what happened. That would be funny. That would be really funny. But no. Wouldn't that be awesome? And then I lost those. No. And because I lost my eyeglasses out in the world in public, when I got my birthday eyeglasses, my replacement eyeglasses, I said, they're never leaving the house.
Right.
These are made of gold and they are never leaving the house. These are so important. And so we had some visitors in town and they got to the back seat of the car. Uh-oh. And then one of them said, hey, what are these eyeglasses doing on the floor? Now, I checked that fucking car 7,000 times. I ripped it apart. There they were. They were apparently just under the passenger seat, and I couldn't see them because I didn't have them, and I was looking close. And if I had just walked a block away and scanned the interior of my car, I would have seen them. So now I have two pair of very expensive eyeglasses, which is great, right? And the legs... Or I don't know what you call the things you stick on your ears.
Arms?
The arms? Sure. Whatever puts the glasses on your face, the sticks that poke off the side.
I don't know.
One unscrewed and fell off. Oh. And so I had to learn about the little baby screws that you can buy and put it in, right? And the same thing happened to the other one. So I'm going to take both of them to the eye doctor and just be like, hey, maybe this one is 6 months old, but this one's just 2 weeks old.
Right.
What's up? So, yeah. So that, and let's see, the other thing which is taking my mind off of what a week it has been is I went to an antique store. Sorry, I did. Yay. I know. I shouldn't. I'm not allowed. Exactly. What? What did I buy? I bought a haunted painting and I love it.
You did?
Right? I did. And so
I hope you're prepared with photographs.
I'm so sorry.
I hope you're prepared with photographs.
Oh, I thought you said, I hope you're prepared with Gozar. And I was like, what's Gozar? Is that anti-ghost stuff? Oh, yes. I will be sending you lots of photographs.
Okay, good.
So the drama is this antique mall is going out of business. And I've been watching this painting for a year.
You bought that painting?
I bought that painting.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But, okay, so in my defense, it made me. It forced me to buy it.
Oh my God.
By being discounted 50%, which is great.
Okay.
And then, so, okay, cool. And then the other contributing factor to the purchase of this painting that I really don't need, but I love it so much. God. It was my friend Vanessa was with me. Uh-huh. And I trust her taste.
Sure.
But I also know that, like, she's pretty honest, uh-huh. right? And can be pretty brutal. Okay. And so I was expecting her. Yeah, we were going through the mall and she picked up something and she was like, fuck me, that's expensive. Real loud for everybody right. to hear, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, it was expensive. So cool. So I was prepared for her to be like, oh my God, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Or, oh, you can't have that. The devil will come and kidnap you. That's a portal to hell, right? No, she said, that's gorgeous. And I was wow. like, God damn it. I really so thought you were going to hate
it. Buy it then. Yeah.
She loved it.
Impossible not to buy.
Yeah. And it was impossible not to buy. And then she was like, oh, but, you know, just throw some things in front of it and leave it in the back of the booth and then come in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, no, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
I got to buy it. She's like, but you said it's been here for years. I'm like, no, I have to buy it now.
Right.
Now while the impulse is strong. So, yeah. So it's in the bathroom because I don't have a spare wall in the house to hang it other than in the bathroom. And I will be sending you photos.
Does and maybe James know that you bought it?
Well, it's in the bathroom and it is like 2 feet by 2 feet. Like it's yeah. big.
It's not small. But it's not in your small. Main bathroom.
And it is a woman who is in a period Puritan outfit. And there is a faint outline of a tree at the edge of the portrait. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this painting of a witch? This is great. I love it. Anyway, so yeah, so there's a witch in our bathroom that stares at us now while we're taking a shower.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he's very well aware of it. And
okay.
And he liked it with some reservations. How much did it cost? And it was $25.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inflation.
I got it at a yard sale.
My lies have increased, right? Because it used to be everything was $20. Now it's $25.
And now it's $25.
Yeah.
So that makes you more honest.
Well, thank you. Yes. I'm even writer. You're
that's right.
Right. So anyway, I'll say that's pretty much all that's shake and bacon here, except now this is a question for you. It's kind of related to our topic today. So I recently, this is not a commercial. There is a TV show called Mary and George. And okay. James was like, oh, this TV show, we should watch it. And have you heard of it? And I had not. And it stars Julianne Moore. Whom I like.
Oh, yeah,
like.
She's awesome. Yeah. I saw her in New York one time.
For lunch, or was she just walking
no,
down the street?
I saw her walking down the street.
Oh, God. I would be like, I love you.
I know.
So anyway, it's in the 1600s, and it's about this mother who's pimping her son out to the king, right?
Okay.
And great. And there's a lot of sex in it. Wow, is there so much nudity. Like, do not watch it with your parents would be my advice to anybody. Right.
Is it just straight sex or is there gay sex? And
oh, it's gay male sex. And there's been bisexual sex. Like,
how would you know?
But there's a lot of full frontal male nudity.
Okay,
that
cool.
I am apparently a prude because every time it happens, I'm like, oh my God, they just showed that on TV. Right.
We're not used to that our age.
Totally not used to that. It's too European. Anyway, so you have to subscribe to the channel Starz, STARZ, to be different.
Yeah.
And cool. So we subscribed and we watched episode one and, you know, I had my nervous grandmother breakdown over like, oh my God, there's so much male nudity. What a surprise. And then the next day, James said, you know, I'm getting all these ads now for Starz. And like on Twitter or Facebook, or I don't do social media so much. So I don't know all the platforms. I know some of them. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense because, you know, social media knows that we're connected and I just made a purchase. And so like Hulu or Starz is probably selling their list to Facebook or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you're seeing those. And he was like, no, I think my iPad's listening to me. And so I was like, iPad is not listening to you. So you also don't do social media. So my question now I realize is I frame it and get ready to pose the question, it's just going to fall flat. Have you been seeing any ads for stars with a Z?
No.
God damn it. Okay.
But I think that my computer is listening to me too. And I'm pretty sure that it is because Siri will pop up if you say, hey, Siri. So obviously it's listening to you. Because
right.
Otherwise, how would it know that you said, hey, Siri? So, and I do get ads for things that I've been interested in or looking at on social media. I do TikTok. And, you know, if I outside at the Arboretum or something, I'll get ads for botanical gardens. And how does it know? I have no idea.
Geolocation.
Yeah, probably location. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the idea that like technology is starting to merge with us.
Which does
kind of get into our topic today. But before we get there, okay, so what's shake and bacon for Theo? So what's shake and bacon for you?
I still don't have a chair, for those who are following the saga. I just cannot bring myself to pull the trigger on an ugly chair, and only an ugly chair suits my needs. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm destined to have this ugly chair that is too short and doesn't work forever. But stay tuned for developments on that. I'm sure I'll update everyone when I eventually buy a chair that works. But in the good news, I have finally decided when to go to New Mexico and Arizona, which I've been trying to decide for, it seems like, years. So I'm going to go the first week of June. I'm going to go to New Mexico and hang out with my cousin for a week, and then my cousin Gwen, and then go to Arizona after that for a week and then come home. I've been putting it off because there's a project that I'm working on where I have to be on site for a couple of days a week. And it was supposed to be over. Well, originally it was supposed to be over the end of April, probably the 1st of April. And it got delayed and delayed and delayed because there's another project that they're working on that takes priority. So we have to wait until that project gets completed before we can really start work on this other project. Anyway, they finally said that they're going to extend the project to June 1st. And I told them, that's fine. That's great. But if the project goes farther than June 1st, I'm going to be working remotely, whether you like it or not. So we'll see if they fire me. But but I don't think they will. I think it'll be fine because there's no earthly reason, honestly, for me to be in that office because I'm there 2 days a week. One day, no one else is there because everyone else is working from home that day. And the other day, no one says hi to me or even looks at me or anything. So there's absolutely no reason for me to be in that office anytime. So anyway, I'm looking forward to going to the Southwest, the desert Southwest, as it so romantically is called. And that's about it. That's all my bacon for today.
Well, good. I'm glad that you have no chair.
Yeah, no chair. Keep your eye out for a good chair. It just needs to have arms. That's the only thing.
I have a hard time not inserting myself in situations where it's like, help, I have a problem. I'm here. I'll do the tracheotomy. I'm here. I will do all the computer programming. I am here. I will stop the Earth's rotation so that climate change disappears.
Excellent.
So yes, every time in the outlet, which embarrassingly is still once a week, I see chairs that have arms, and I'm like, I wonder if that chair would be any good. But they're so expensive, even at the stupid outlet, even with discounts, you may as well just get the chair that you wanted, but doesn't have arms.
Doesn't have arms. That's the thing. I would just buy the fucking chair I wanted. But speaking of which, I have found a desk that I want, which is like $1,900. And I looked at it like I was getting ready to buy it. So I can't buy it yet because the electricians are here doing work this week and they might be extending into next week. And I can't, you know, have somebody come and install the desk and put it together and or set it up while the electricians are here. And we don't really know how long the electricians are going to be here. So I have to wait. But on the other hand, the website says buy now, quantities are limited. So I'm freaking out about that. And on the other hand, I calculated how much it was going to cost with shipping and taxes, and it's $2,500. I'm like, Brent, I can't spend $2,500 on a desk. And he's like, I just spent $2,000 on a chair. And he's like, you can afford this. I'm like, well, I can afford it, but I was kind of hoping to have some money for retirement.
Well, you could live under the desk. I mean, if you think about it,
I might have
it is for retirement.
Desk. Yeah, that is my retirement plan, is my desk. So anyway, that's all that's going on with me. Today, let's talk about Grimes. Do you know who Grimes is? Did you know who Grimes was before we started doing research for this story?
Not a clue. Didn't even know that I knew her, right? And so last night, somebody said, oh, you sent a text and you were like, hey, when's Grimes' show?
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that she would be performing on a following weekend because I know nothing about the format of Coachella or the story that we're doing tomorrow. And so I mentioned something to my friend Vanessa, and she went onto Google and she was like, oh, her kids are named Mechanical and Techno and something else, right? And she was like, I hate her. Oh, and she was married to Elon Musk. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I thought she was just some art musician I'd never heard of before. But, oh, God, we're going to go treading through the garden of Elon Musk again. Okay. But not really, because they're divorced.
Thank God.
So no, I only had the vaguest. But now I know a bit more.
Now you do know a bit more. Her real name is Claire Boucher. She's from Vancouver. I almost forgot the name of Vancouver. She's from Vancouver. She's a musician, singer, songwriter, and producer. She became famous in the music industry for her unique blend of electronic pop and experimental music. And she's released several critically acclaimed albums, including Visions and Art Angels, which showcase her distinctive sound and creative vision. Beyond her music, she's known for her eclectic style and involvement in various artistic endeavors, making her a prominent figure in contemporary pop culture. But I think the first time that I heard of her was when she married Elon Musk, whenever that was. I don't think they were married that long, but they were married for a while, and it just seemed weird. And I think there was an age gap, but I could be wrong about that. And I remember thinking she must be horrible if she married Elon Musk.
That's exactly what my thought was, too. She's got to be, she could only be bad if she married Elon Musk. And then I had it in my head that she was just kind of a DJ, but no, it turns out she actually writes music and performs, plays all the instruments herself. And so she's much more than just a DJ. No offense to the DJs out there. So yeah, I'll say
she does seem talented. So I did not listen to any of her music, and I should have. And I was going to watch the set last night, but I got distracted on TikTok and forgot. So I did not watch the set last night, but I saw someone tweeting about it, said it went well. So we'll talk about the set the previous week, though, which is a different story a little bit later. But speaking of her having to be a horrible person because she married Elon Musk, in a May 2023 interview, she said that she kind of likes the patriarchy, saying it was the vehicle that brought civilization, although it's sort of oppressive and almost all the systems of modernity are broken. That same year, after members of the r/Grimes subreddit documented her affiliations with far-right figures, Grimes responded that she was proud of white culture. I'm called a Nazi because I happily am proud of white culture, she tweeted.
I have missed all of that in my air quotes around research. I did listen to some of her music. Wow. Okay.
What did you think of her music?
Well, I'm going to say that explains why she married Elon Musk, because he is completely a Nazi as well, in my opinion, Elon. And it was okay. I mean, it's electronica. It's like electro chill pop, right?
Okay.
And so, yeah, every once in a great while, I might put on like a playlist of electronica, electric chill, right? And I enjoy ambient music sometimes. Could I name one single group that I like? Not a one. But there was somebody that I listened to a lot in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I would like buy their album, and I really liked them, and escaping me now, right? Because I'm not a big music person.
Right.
Which is ironic because I live in Austin, and we're going to be moving to Palm Springs, and that's South by Southwest, a huge music festival, and Coachella, another huge music festival, and I live in both towns. I don't know shit about music. So
I wonder who that band was that you listened to. I'm gonna be super curious until you find out and tell me.
Okay, well, I will scroll through the 2000 albums that we have. Once upon a time, I could have just walked into a room and like run my finger down the wall and been like, okay, all of this. Now everything's digitized. So I've got it somewhere. And I know the minute I see them, I'll be like, oh, yeah. And I'll listen to them for 5 minutes. And then I'll be like, this is why I stopped listening to electronica. I will say that I did find Grimes music that two songs I listened to. Mm-hmm. While I was working on our podcast to be repetitive and sort of just a lot of like heavy beat music. Dum, 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 dum,
right.
Dum, right. And that's not my thing, but I could hear that there was structure. There was some music. There was, you know, there was a point to it. It wasn't just noise. Anyway, I've completely derailed you. And I did watch there's like a minute and a half clip of her meltdown on stage at Coachella, and during the melt, I couldn't really tell that she was, I don't want to say meltdown. If you had told me that was part of the act,
yeah,
I would have said, all right, great. It's electronica. Have at it. Right. Just like punk music. We threw up on stage on purpose, not because we were hungover.
That does happen sometimes. Yeah. So as you were mentioning, or as you were alluding to last weekend, she apologized to fans after having technical difficulties during her performance at the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, which is one of the world's largest music festivals. She explained that she had outsourced certain aspects of her show setup, which led to issues with the tempo of her tracks and monitor displays. According to Variety's Jem Aswad, nothing was amiss during the first half of Grimes' set, which kicked off with Grimes entering on a giant robotic spider, which I wish I had seen. But things began breaking down during the second half. On Saturday, Grimes lived what is probably the nightmare of every Coachella performer, debilitating equipment malfunctions in front of thousands of fans and possibly millions watching online. She tried explaining the problems that had to do with the programming of the tracks on her mixing deck, but her frustration was evident, and she shouted and shrieked into the mic as things broke down several times. But by even the most charitable metric, it was a disaster. Isabel Armitage for Clash Music explained, one component part of being a DJ is learning how to think on your feet. An experienced DJ would have sidestepped the fumble intuitively. Grimes' set was evidently pre-planned and prescriptive and not of her own doing. And on April 14th, Grimes apologized on Twitter, which we'll read in a moment. And then on April 18th, she posted on Twitter, who's ready for Coachella weekend two? I will cap the disarray at a maximum 10 seconds per song. I don't know if there's ever been a more rehearsed or fine-tuned Grimes set. So that's my story about Grimes and her music and her disaster. I did not watch the clip of her freaking out, but did she really scream?
She shouted into the microphone, but she wasn't shouting at people. I think she was trying to explain to the audience what was happening, right?
I see.
I did listen. So famously, and I will repeat again, I know nothing about music, especially when music merges with math, right? So when you start talking about beats per minute, I just hear wah, 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 right? So I listened to this podcast. It's a couple of DJs, and they were talking about how she fucked up, right?
Okay.
And they basically said, oh, she just doesn't know the basics. How can you be a DJ and not be able to at least mix by ear? This is the problem with artists, air quotes around artists, these days. And they just come in and they hit a button, right?
Right.
And then when something happens during a live performance, well, they can't think on their feet. They can't fix it. They can't take the mistake and make it art. All they can do is stand there and shout at the audience about how things are fucked up. Mm-hmm. And apparently she outsourced her music library to somebody to a company to have them organize it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who, I don't have a music library, I mean, I think everybody has some sort of a library. You've got a small collection of books, a small collection of CDs, right? Or big playlists, whatever. Whatever you people do with your collections, you have a way in which you approach your collection so you can find things, right? Mm-hmm. Some people organize by color. Some are straight alphabetical. Some do by feeling, right? Whatever. So why would you take something as crucial as your library and give it to somebody, an outside third party, and tell them to organize it for you?
Yeah.
How are you going to find anything? And so that was part of the problem. So apparently she was handicapped by not being a real DJ, I guess, is how I'll put it, where she could just fix things mechanically herself. And then also, she just didn't know how her library was set up because she didn't do it, and took the following week to do the things it should have done. And the second set was much better, according to everybody on Twitter.
Good.
Her ex-husband's platform.
Which she's still on, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting along very well. I think they had a custody dispute, and I don't know if they're speaking or not, but.
I on purpose did not look into their marriage or any, because I am so over Elon Musk. He and Donald Trump can both go to jail as far as I'm concerned. Now, Elon hasn't broken any laws that I'm aware of, but still,
I'm sure
go to jail. Go away.
Exactly. I was going to say something and I forgot what it was. So never mind. We can talk about the apology now if you want, or do you have more stuff to talk about?
Well, so for this topic, there just felt like there were so many different little rabbit holes to run down, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she does electronica. So what's the evolution of electronic music, right? Mm-hmm. And then she does this thing where it's sort of like, well, it's not just her, but apparently according, let us read this. This is from a Redditor. Mm-hmm. And this is what he felt happened to Grimes on weekend one when everything exploded, right? So he says, going on a small rant here, Grimes has never been a great live performer, ever. Some ethereal shows have happened back in the indie days, but she's always been sloppy. Her ideas are not as fluid as she presents them, yet her concepts are genre-breaking. Now, I don't know enough about electronica to say, like, oh, that's true or not, right?
Yeah.
But this person seems to be a real fan, right? Uh-huh. It goes on to say, I'm the biggest fan and defender of this woman. But Coachella was no surprise when it comes to her performances. She is not a performer. She is an artist, a producer, and she has gone on to say she would never perform live again after Miss Anthropocene. Anthropocene, that's it. She handles her music with so much intimacy and portrayals that so many people who don't get it, don't get it. The mainstream could never understand the weird-ass way she carries herself in the industry. She is self-funded, and people don't want to hear that because of... And then they abbreviate Elon Musk to ENNK, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Grimes was Grimes way before the whole situation happened. That being said, the internet, the opinions of others, not even Grimes, could make me hate. Let's read that sentence again. Mm-hmm. That being said, the internet, the opinions of others, not even Grimes, could make me hate her. Okay, so nobody can change this person's opinion about Grimes as an artist. I have never resonated with an artist like her to the point of my reality actually being understood by others. Oh my God, take some medicine. I have thanked her for her art for years, and she has really got me through the most jilting points of my life. I'm sure that must mean jilting, and good. I'm glad you found somebody who can help you. I love her, and yes, Coachella was messy, but people, please leave her TF, the fuck, alone. Hmm. So, okay, all right, and that actually helped me understand her a little bit better, right, as mm-hmm. as an artist and kind of like what happened and what was up. Anyway, I'll say the real hook for me in this story is, what is Coachella? What is it? What are the kids doing? Coachella? What is Coachella? So here's the history of Coachella.
Cool.
The Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, commonly known as Coachella, is an annual music festival held in the city of Indio, California, which is in the Coachella Valley Basin. Established in 1999 by two guys, the festival is organized by Golden Voice, which is a subsidiary of AEG Live, which, for those people who don't know, is a great big music thing. Yeah.
Okay.
What do I know? I've heard of AEG. That's what I know, and I know they have stuff to do with music and concerts. Coachella takes place at the Empire Polo Club. Known for its eclectic mix of music genres, the festival spans over two consecutive three-day weekends in April.
Okay.
Coachella traces its origins back to 1993 to a concert that Pearl Jam performed at the Empire Polo Club while boycotting venues controlled by Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. And all the kids from the 90s will remember how evil Ticketmaster was. While Pearl Jam did not directly start the Coachella Music Festival, their involvement with the Empire Polo Club played a crucial role in the genesis of the festival. In the early 90s, Pearl Jam sought alternative venues not controlled by Ticketmaster for their tours.
Yep.
Pearl Jam was known for fan-friendly practices and kept their ticket prices lower than low, to make their concerts accessible. Ticketmaster's service fees inflated the cost of concert tickets, so Pearl Jam organized their tours without using Ticketmaster services, thereby dodging the service fees, right? And looking for venues that just didn't work with Ticketmaster.
Right.
So quick side note on the Pearl Jam-Ticketmaster feud, right? The conflict escalated to the point where Pearl Jam filed a formal complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice in 1994, alleging that Ticketmaster was engaging in monopolistic practices. The feud highlighted the tensions between artist control and corporate practices in the music industry, though ultimately the Department of Justice did not take any action against Ticketmaster, and Pearl Jam was forced to return to using its services.
And now their tickets are $600.
Probably, yeah. And boo, well, Pearl Jam, you tried to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
So Pearl Jam chose the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California for a concert that would highlight the venue's potential for hosting large-scale events. The successful concert, attended by approximately 25,000 fans, showcased the venue's capacity and set a precedent. The positive experience and the venue's capabilities inspired Golden Voice, the concert promoter, to later create the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival in 1999. The first Coachella Festival was held over 2 days in October in 99, featuring artists like Beck, the Chemical Brothers, Tool, Morrissey, and Rage Against the Machine. All bands I know. All music stopped in the 90s for me. Despite receiving critical acclaim, the inaugural festival struggled financially and was not held in 2000. In 2001, Coachella returned as a single-day event and switched to its switched date to April. From 2002 onwards, it expanded back to a two-day format and in 2007 to a three-day format. The festival's scope and scale continue to grow, reflecting its increasing popularity and the booming cultural interest in music festivals. Everybody's trying to recapture, I almost said Stockwood, Woodstock. Coachella is noted for its diverse lineup and has been instrumental in reuniting bands and hosting performances for some of the biggest names in the music industry. Over the years, Coachella has featured a wide variety of genres and performances from artists such as Beyonce, Prince, Radiohead, Daft Punk, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg, and whose shows have been landmark events in the festival's history. In addition to Coachella, it's also a showcase for the visual arts, including art installations and sculptures. Many of the art pieces are interactive and are scattered across the main grounds between stages, allowing attendees easy access. The festival's art installations have grown in scale and ambition over the years, mirroring the growth of the festival itself. And then, of course, there's a huge economic impact to the Coachella Valley and the surrounding. So that's Coachella, which then led me to, since I live in the Coachella, I don't know, grounds, if you will, or will be soon, fingers crossed, and definitely live in and am bugged by South By. God, I hate South By. So what's the difference between Coachella and South By? So they're both prominent music festivals. Mm-hmm. Coachella, primarily a music festival, Coachella has evolved to include significant art installations and has become a major cultural event in its own right, known for its eclectic mix of music genres, and large-scale performances. South by Southwest, which is in Austin, Texas, is a broader cultural festival that encompasses not only music, but also film and interactive media. It's more of a conference and festival combo, offering panels, talks, and workshops along with performances. South By is recognized for its urban setting, utilizing various venues around Austin, and it's a key in showcasing emerging technology, startup ventures, and independent films, as well as up-and-coming musical acts. Coachella tends to draw major headline acts, reunions, and large-scale performances. South By serves as a launchpad for new talent across various media. It is crucial for networking within the industry, and when I think they say, oh, sorry, within the music industry and beyond, and so music and tech, right? It helps new artists get discovered, and veteran artists have opportunities to reinvent themselves. The festival's interactive component also positions it uniquely as the intersection of culture and technology. And just to kind of sum it up, Coachella could be seen as more comparable to a blockbuster event like the Oscars, and South By is more similar to the Emmys, which tends to be more industry-oriented than, say, the Oscars, right? Oh. So that is basically the difference between the two festivals and the history of Coachella, world, and America. You are welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. That was interesting. I didn't know that much about Coachella, and now I do.
I didn't even know it was this weekend.
Yeah. I would like to see some of the art, but I guess I'll have to go online and look for that. I don't, I'm never going there personally, so I'll never see the art in person.
Oh, you don't want to be with 250,000 people standing in the desert, walking in around looking for water in a bathroom?
Oh, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
It's totally my worst nightmare.
It's the worst. I went to Lollapalooza once, and that was bad enough. And that was years ago when I was young. So it's not for me. So let's talk about Grimes' apology.
Yeah.
She had her technical glitches last weekend and said in response, "I want to apologize for the technical issues with the show tonight. I wanted to come back really strong, and usually I always handle every aspect of my show myself. To save time, this was one of the first times I've outsourced essential things like record box BPMs and letting someone else organize the tracks on the SD card, etc. I had a bad feeling beforehand, not having run everything through the CDJs myself, and though I flagged it, I wasn't insistent. The big lesson for me was a mix of, one, if you want it done right, do it yourself. Two, be a cunt, even if people feel bad. Three, probably pretend it's fine and engage with the crowd rather than spend a whole show slumped over the desk trying to fix software when you're meant to be entertaining. I will personally organize all the files next week. I will not let such a thing happen again. I've spent months on this show, making music and visuals, and admittedly am not in the best mood at the moment. But yeah, next week will be flawless. Everything will run through my hands. Some good lessons learned. Bless y'all. The CDJs were showing me BPMs like 370, so I couldn't even mix manually by ear. And the front monitors were off, so it was literally sonic chaos on my end trying to guess how stuff was sounding for you guys. Please forgive me. Love always. Heart emoji." And that was 2:18 a.m. on April 14th. So let's talk about this apology through the lens of our criteria. Was there an expression of regret? Yes, there was an expression of regret. Was there an explanation of what went wrong? Yes, it was other people's fault.
Totally.
So yeah, kind of no. Acknowledgement of responsibility? No, the opposite. Was there a declaration of repentance? Not really. Was there an offer of repair? Yes, not let other people do it, which is not really an offer of repair. And was there a request for forgiveness? Actually, yes. She did say, "Please forgive me," which most people don't say. So I'll give her a couple points for that. But overall, I'm only giving her a couple of points because she's blaming others for what happened when it was really all her responsibility. And if she outsourced it, she needs to take responsibility for doing that. So I give this apology a 2. What about you?
We are back in sync. What do we call it? Copacetic. Yes. I also gave it a 2, and which was kind of weird because I had to sit down with myself, which I do all the time anyway. What am I going to do? But I'd sit down and like, okay, are you not being nice because of Elon Musk? Can you take him out? All right. Well, they're divorced. So yeah. Cool. I didn't know she was a Nazi, or let me rephrase that. I didn't know that, in my opinion, she would be considered a Nazi by Theo. Didn't know that, right? And it's weird when people say, "I'm proud of white culture," because yeah. It's like, sure,
right.
But also, white people aren't the only people involved in the culture of Western civilization, and so we can be proud of all cultures, right?
Yeah.
But okay, fine, right? We're not taking anything away from fighting with a Nazi. Is what I'm doing now. It's stupid. And so it wasn't, so my low score wasn't the Elon Musk thing. It was completely the whole, this is other people's fault, and I'm going to fix it by not letting other stupid people be involved yeah. with my production.
Absolutely.
Well, as a content creator, mm-hmm. I don't outsource my bullshit.
No.
I don't go to ChatGPT and say, "Please write a novel," but I'm going to try that. Based on this, right? And write it in the voice of David Sedaris and Stephen King.
Right.
It could be genius. And I'm going to copyright. That's my copyright. America, world, that's mine. So anyway, a solid 2. And it's because she did apologize. She did make things better. I understand that the second set was a lot better. So yep. She followed through on her promise. So great. It is what she was supposed to do anyway. And I'm having a hard time separating the event from the apology, right? It's kind of like, that's your fucking job, as this DJ on Reddit quotes or says. And now I will quote this DJ. "As a DJ, I think what happened at Coachella is hilarious. Keeping in mind that she was paid more for that performance than most DJs will ever make in their entire careers. The errors were truly things you should learn the first time you touch DAX. And outsourcing the prep of her files? That is literally your job as a DJ. She might have helped produce the tracks, but to rock up onto a stage that big with a USB that you haven't even tested on gear is insanity. Okay, I don't know enough about, don't even know half the words you said, but I agree. So again, having a hard time separating the event from the round, but it's a two, and it's a two because she continues to blame others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed. And boo, I wanted to be a fan. I wanted to be like, oh, I've discovered this new artist. And yeah. I discovered she's I invented this new artist.
Right. No, I wanted to like Grimes too, but I didn't even listen to her music because I figured I wasn't going to like it. Just from the pictures that I saw and various other things, I was like, that's not my cup of tea. So,
person for us.
Exactly. Maybe next week we'll find some fantastic new artists that we could get behind.
Or some old artist from the 90s, once I trip over that band that I used to listen to.
That was. I'm dying to know.
Me too.
So do you have a who's sorry now or an apologies expected this week?
I do. I have a who's sorry now.
Exciting.
Wait, no, I don't. I have an apology expected. But okay. I also know I'm not going to get it, right? And so apology expected from, I hate to say her name. I really do, but Moscow Marge.
Who's Moscow
Marge? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, no. Yes. She's the worst.
She is totally the worst. We hate her so much. And she is gunning for Speaker of the House's, job of the Speaker of the House now.
God.
Who passed, finally, a funding bill for Ukraine. Hooray! And what I'm liking about this moment in politics is it seems like people are finally starting to wake the fuck up and be like, huh, this is a moment where I could behave like Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Or I could side with Hitler.
Yeah.
Huh, what am I going to do?
Yeah, think about that.
And people are starting to, and when I say people, I mean Republicans, and politicians, not you know, people like my grandparents. But anyway, I think she owes the world an apology for being nothing but a propaganda machine for Russia or Vladimir Putin. I don't even want to say Russia, right? Because I recognize the country and the people are separate from the politicians. Yeah, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. She owes the world an apology, and I hope in the future, 10 years from now, once we get through all of this bullshit, she'll step forward and say, I was wrong. I apologize. Theo, you were right about everything you said about me on Apologies Accepted, the podcast. What about you? Who's sorry now or apology expected?
Well, mine's kind of related to the Grimes story because it is Tesla who will need to apologize. They are recalling about 4,000 of their 2024 Cybertrucks after Tesla discovered that the accelerator pedal can become stuck, potentially causing the vehicle to accelerate unintentionally and increase the risk of a crash. The accelerator pedal pad may dislodge and become trapped by the interior trim, which I saw on TikTok as some guy was explaining how it happened, and it was very interesting. Musk addressed the difficulties of mass producing the vehicle, saying during the company's third quarter conference call in October that we dug our own grave with Cybertruck. Tesla has shed $700 billion in the past 3 years. So I'm happy about that. And I hope they lose all of their money and all of their stock value and take a big and Elon Musk takes a big dent in his worth.
I hope so, too. It is the ugliest car I've ever seen in my life.
It's so ugly.
I can't believe there are 4,000 of them out there.
I can't believe it. There are any of them out there. Who would want to drive that? That is so ugly.
It's so ugly.
Like a tin can with, you know, that's been hammered into a weird hexagonal shape or something.
It's just, whenever I see, so there are a couple driving around Austin. Yeah. And whenever I see them, I'm just like, you're the biggest fucking moron.
Right.
Congratulations.
I've never seen one in the wild, but I'm expecting to, considering I live in the Bay Area, and that's exactly what I would think.
They're very weird, peculiar-looking cars. Now I sound like every person that was ever wrong about the advancement of time, right?
Oh, it just looks weird.
Horseless carriages? They'll never catch on.
No, these are a mess. These cars are a mess. And so are the other Teslas. So fuck Musk. Not literally.
Fully agreed. I'll take it literally. Why not? We can make a movie of it and sell it for money.
All right. On that note, I think that's it.
Yes. On that note and on that visual, that is it. Just have a lovely week, everybody, and enjoy.
Yes. Yeah, stay cool, cucumbers.
No, you're supposed to say don't trip potato chip.
Don't trip potato chips.
And stay cool, cucumbers. We'll get it. It's all because I don't have a good sign off. That's all. TTFN was not popular.
See you later. Bye.
Take care. Bye, everyone.
Listening to Apologies Accepted, the podcast.
You can find links to the articles and the sources in the show notes.
To submit an apology or find out more, visit us at apologiesaccepted.net, where you can also find our merchandise.
We're on Twitter at apologiesaccepted
and on Instagram at apologies.accepted.
You can support our important work at patreon.com/apologiesaccepted.
And fuck Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.